Thanks for listening to the Journey Christian Church podcast. We're on a mission to make disciples who love God, love people, and serve the world. Our prayer is that this message encourages you today. And remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.
You know, last weekend, we kicked off a new teaching series called Shift Your If. You got to be careful how you say that, okay? Shift Your If. It's based on the 8th chapter of the New Testament book of Romans, and Pastor John, if you will recall, challenged us to read that chapter every day during this 3-week series so that the life-changing words are seared into our minds and become the dominant way we think about our relationship with God. Romans chapter 8 is just one of those chapters in the New Testament that it's so intriguing, it's full of so much good theology. And the big takeaway last week was this: there is no regret that God cannot redeem. That's a good word. There is no regret in your life that God cannot redeem. If that doesn't lift some weight off of your shoulders, if that doesn't put a little skip in your step, you're not really grasping the full significance of what this means. Because it means every sinful, hateful, regretful choice you've ever made in your life, whether intentional or accidental, has been nailed to the cross. And there's no better news than that news right there. Jesus allowed himself and his perfectly obedient life to rescue us from the devastating consequences of our sinful and our sinful regrets. Amen. In other words, we were wrecked by our sin, but we've been rescued by Jesus. And that's really the gospel. And that's why Paul begins Romans chapter 8 with this statement: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, this verse right here is your current reality. You're living in the flow of God's forgiveness because you've been justified by God's grace. Remember last week, justification means just as if I'd never done it. My sinful regrets, all of them, have been paid in full by Jesus. And because I put my faith in him, he graciously and he freely forgives me. Paul says a little earlier in the book of Romans, he says this: the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. But let's not stop there. These are wonderful thoughts. In fact, this is the gospel, but it's only the first part of the gospel. It's only the first aspect of how amazing the gospel really is. You see, Jesus died on the cross not only to forgive you, he also died to change you. And the New Testament uses words like this about the change that comes to our lives as a result of the forgiveness of God. It uses words like regeneration. It uses words like new birth, new creation, spiritual resurrection to describe this aspect of the gospel. Think about it like this. Imagine you run a stop sign and you crash into another car, breaking your leg. Now you have two problems. First problem is this: it's a legal problem. You're guilty of breaking the law because you ran through the stop sign. And that's going to require you or someone else pay your penalty. Right? But there's a second problem, and it's a medical problem. Your leg is broken, and this requires a doctor to treat your injury and bring healing to your leg. The thing that was broken has to be healed. Now, the Bible tells us this: sin causes two devastating consequences in our lives. First, sin makes us guilty. We violated God's law. We're now guilty before God. And second of all, sin makes us spiritually guilty. Sick. In other words, we have a bent now in our lives toward giving into sin. We can all relate. We can all relate. It's almost easier sometimes, even for believers, just to give in, it seems, to the sinful inclinations we have in our lives than to resist them. Why is that? Because sin makes us spiritually sick. And we now have a leaning, an inclination, a bent in our lives toward sin. Now, the gospel addresses both of these issues. Jesus pays our penalty in full on the cross, and the gift of the Holy Spirit heals our sin-sick souls, enabling us to live with power beyond our natural abilities. You see, Paul describes this in his letter to the Corinthians. He says it like this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. And when he wrote to the Ephesians, he said this: I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Talking about us on the inside, not just forgiveness, but the power that we have to live for God now. So not only am I forgiven, I've been spiritually strengthened and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in ways for God that I never could have before. Now, too many people miss this second half, the second aspect of the gospel, and they suffer from spiritual anemia. They're justified, yes, of course, justified and forgiven, but really in their living for God, they're limping along, struggling and striving to live victoriously the new life that God has given. I don't know if that describes you. It might, but there is hope and there is power. It would be like Superman living his whole life and never knowing he had superpowers. And there he is on his deathbed. The end has come, and he looks down and he sees this big S on his chest. And he says, "What's this?" And someone says, "You've had superpower your whole life, but you never used it. Why not?" Now, that would be a sad situation. Paul says we've been given divine power to live for God. And that power comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And if you're a follower of Jesus, effectively you have a big HS on your chest, Holy Spirit. And you have the power to make a difference in your life and in the life of other people as well. So today, we're gonna shift our focus from last week talking about our if-only regrets to today talking about our what-if possibilities. These what-if possibilities come only as a result of the Holy Spirit in our lives, giving us the power to live for God. And if you're in Christ, you have that power and you might not even know it. You know, Pixar Animation Studios, you've probably heard of them. They've produced some of our all-time favorite movies. And if you're watching online in the chat, I want you to jump in the chat, list out, maybe just type in, what's your favorite Pixar movie? And there's a bunch of them, right? You got Toy Story 1, 2, 3, and 4, okay? You've got Cars, you've got Monsters, Inc., you've got Finding Nemo, you've got The Incredibles, so many, many more great Pixar movies. The president of Pixar is a man named Ed Catmull. And a couple years ago, he wrote a book. The book's called Creativity, Inc., right? And it's in this book that he shares some key strategies for unleashing the creativity of the employees at Pixar. But right in the middle of the book, he talks about these what-if possibilities of what he calls Pixar marriages. And these are people who went to work at Pixar, met their spouse, and had what he calls Pixar kids. And this is what he says: if Pixar had never existed, those kids would never have been born. And that's true. And then he tells this story. He says, in 1957, my family went on a road trip to Yellowstone. They went on vacation. And on the way back, they were driving up this winding canyon road with a steep cliff on one side and no guardrail. And as they rounded a corner, another car coming in the opposite direction drifted over into their lane. And he says his dad swerved and his mom screamed, and he estimates that they came about 2 inches from driving off that cliff. And then he makes this sobering statement. He said, 2 more inches, no Pixar. 2 more inches, no Pixar marriages. 2 more inches, no Pixar kids. He calls these 2-inch events. And the reality is, we all have 2-inch events in our life that could radically change the direction and the destination of our lives. Thinking about this, actually, though, could create great fear within us, but it doesn't need to, at least not if you're in a relationship with Jesus, because here's what Jesus said. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have, what? Peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So in Christ, we can relax He has everything under control. 2 inches or 2 letters, same difference. The truth is, you're only 2 letters and 1 decision away from a totally different life. You might be saying, well, what are these 2 letters I'm talking about? I and F, if. What if possibilities in your life? In 2009, I was the associate pastor at Union Park Christian Church in Orlando. And it's led by one of my dear friends. His name's Tom Hensley. He's a great pastor, wonderful preacher, and good friend. And he has a heart for grieving families, for helping those who have lost loved ones. And he asked me if I'd be willing to help him serve some families who are going through their moment of greatest need. And I said, of course. And so he connected me with some families and some funeral homes. And I spoke at a couple services. And I can't explain really what God did in my heart and in my head, but he put within me this desire to really help as many people through that moment of crisis in their life as I possibly could. And then this thought occurred to me. A what if possibility was born in my heart. And I said to myself, and actually to God, I said, what if I say yes to every opportunity I'm given to lead a family through their crisis of loss, regardless of the place or the time or the circumstances? In other words, if I can do it, I'm gonna do it. Listen, be careful what you offer up to God. He can and often will do more than you expect or imagine. When your what if is intended to bless other people, you might just wanna get ready because God is about to use you in a big way. You see, my vision was dozens. God's vision was thousands. 12 years later, after my what if, 1,500 funerals later, I've seen God work and heal hearts in ways that I can only describe as miraculous. I mean, I love this quote from Pastor Rick Warren. I think it fits perfectly. God is looking for people to use, and if you can get usable, he will wear you out. That's what he did for me. The most dangerous prayer you can pray is this: God put me to work. God, use me. Let me ask you a question. What is your what if prayer for God? What is your what if prayer for God? The possibilities are endless. What is that thing you're willing to do or to give or to say or to build for God? Where are you willing to go for God? Maybe more importantly, where are you willing to stay for God and the gospel and others? And you might be thinking, I could never do anything significant for God. It's not in me. I could never do anything really that big or significant or impactful on God's behalf. And if that's how you see yourself, you don't see you the way God sees you. If you're a believer, God's put within you a new heart. He's given you a divine power through the presence of the Holy Spirit like you've never had before, whether you know about it or not. Whether you tap into it or not, you have it. If you're in Christ, you have the gift within you of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just like a stagnant gift, it's a gift to be used. And if you tap into it, God can use you in ways that aren't really about you, but are about sharing the gospel and meeting needs and helping others, expanding his kingdom. It's not about you, it's about God and serving other people. Let me tell you about the what if of Steve and Shelley Smelsky. They started a foundation for their son, Jordan, who passed away in 2014. That's how I met him. A few years ago, they said this. They said, what if we give away new and gently used sporting equipment to disadvantaged children at Christmas time in our son's honor? You see, Jordan loved Christmas. He loved sports. And he always wanted to make sure that children had gifts at Christmas time. Now, remember, When your what if is selfless and focused on blessing other people, God often opens doors. 6 years later, more than 1,000 bicycles, hundreds of skateboards and scooters, hundreds of soccer balls and footballs and baseballs and rollerblades and safety helmets and much, much more have been given away to the glory of God and in honor of Jordan. All because grieving parents wanted to honor their child and point people to Jesus. And they didn't do this on their own. A lot of people rallied around to help, and it wasn't easy. But God's opened doors, he's opened hearts, he's opened wallets in ways they could never have even imagined. And they didn't do it, God did it. And that's because God's in the business of turning your what-if possibilities into what-if realities. So the question is, once again, what is your what-if possibility? What is your what-if for God? The gospel isn't just about forgiveness now in heaven when you die. Certainly that's wonderful, and that's what we all want, yes. The gospel is also about living the abundant and full life now, right now, today, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor John told us last week that the word if is used in the Bible 1,784 times. I'm going to take his word for it. One of my favorites is found in this verse right here. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, then who can be against us? You see, there's a simple rule in journalism, and the rule is don't bury the lead, right? Don't bury the lead. Here's the lead of this story. God is for me every day and in every way. God is for me every day and in every way. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've done, you need to know God is on your side. How can I be so sure about this? Am I just kind of making this up? No. Look at this verse. But God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were yet sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, no matter who you are, God loves you. No matter where you're from or what you've done, God loves you. You don't die for someone you don't love. You don't die for someone you're not for. And Jesus died for us when we refused to even live for him. Jesus gave it all when we weren't willing to give him anything at all, is what this verse says. In other words, when you were against God, he was still for you. And that's the heart of God. And the proof of all of this is the cross of Christ. He died for you. You see, there's a big lie out there that you must avoid believing. And here's the big lie. It goes like this. God is mad at me, and that's why my life is filled with hurt and disappointment. Nothing could be further from the truth. God's not mad at you. God's madly in love with you. That's true. And Paul says in verse 39, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's in Romans chapter 8, verse 39. Nothing. Nothing. It says nothing. Height nor depth, angels, demons, width or depth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And somebody needs to hear that today. There's somebody here who thinks God doesn't love them. Don't buy into that lie. He's for you every day and in every way. I want to tell you that no matter how far you run from God or no matter how fast you run from God, if you look over your shoulder, he's going to be right there. Somebody's called him the Hound of Heaven. I like that. It's not, you think it's all about us seeking God when the reality is God is the one seeking us. He tracks us down to show us his love and to give us his love. I love what author Mark Batterson says. He said, God wants to get you where he wants you to go more than you want to get where God wants you to go. That's so true. God wants to get you where he wants you to go. He's for you. He's with you. He's given you strength and power. To fully appreciate Romans 8:31, which is the verse, if God is for us, who can be against us? You got to go all the way back to square one to really appreciate the verse. And for me, square one is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Check these verses out. This is God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God compares the distance of his thoughts and our thoughts to the expanse of space, right? In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And those four words are the catalyst for all creation, from the 118 elements on the periodic table to the billions of galaxies that make up our universe. And here's the amazing thing. According to the Doppler effect, the universe is still expanding. It's still growing. Meaning those four words, let there be light, are still creating galaxies at the outer edges of our universe at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. What does this mean for us here today? It means whatever you're worried about this weekend, whatever concerns you have about your life or about the life of other people, whatever weight you're carrying, God is bigger than that thing. He's bigger than any of our problems, and every one of our problems. He's bigger than all of that. At some point, you might need to stop talking to God about your problems and start talking to your problems about God. The darkest place at night I've ever been to was one time when I was in the country of Haiti. And I can remember this night so clear. It was just so dark. There's no exterior light kind of bleeding into the area. And I looked up, and the stars, oh my gosh, I've never seen just like a blanket of stars. They say that on a really dark night, if you're in the right place, you can see about 9,000 stars. The most distant star that you can see with the naked eye, according to scientists, is called Deneb. It's about 1,500 light years away from Earth. But when you look into space, you're seeing stars that might have died out hundreds or maybe even thousands of years ago, but they're so far away that their light is still traveling toward us. So in some respect, you're really looking back in time because it's just the light that you see coming toward us. Let me bring this a little closer to home. The nearest star to Earth is the sun, 93 million miles away. And if you drove there in a car at 65 miles an hour, it would take you 163 years to get there, nonstop. But light traveling at 186,000 miles per second leaves the sun and comes to Earth in 8 minutes and 20 seconds. That's our closest star. Scientists have discovered galaxies 15.5 billion light years away. That distance for all of us is incomprehensible, and that's kind of the point. God says that distance is about the distance between his thoughts and our thoughts. You see, here's my point. Your best thought on your best day is about 15.5 billion light years short of how good and how great God really is. You see, I believe in a God that's omnipotent, that's omnipresent. I believe in a God who is highly exalted. I believe in a God that exists outside of the time and the space and the dimensions that he's created. I believe in a God who can make or break the laws of nature that he instituted. I believe in a God whose thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His name is Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And the scripture says, he shall reign forever and ever and ever. That, my friends, is the God who is for us. He's a God that can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or ever imagine. So let me once again remind you, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Let me close with this illustration. During the 1990 basketball season, Michael Jordan scored 69 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And after the game, a reporter asked one of his teammates, Stacey King, how he would remember this epic performance by Michael Jordan. Now, keep in mind, Stacey King watched most of the game from the bench. In fact, he only scored 1 point the entire game, which makes his response kind of an instant classic. He said, "I will always remember this as the game that Michael Jordan and I combined for 70 points." That's so good. You see, Stacey King rode Michael Jordan's coattails not to just one NBA championship, not just two, but three. And here's my point. God goes before us, and he wins for us the victory. God is on your side, but the question is, are you on God's side? We started out talking about two-inch events, and I believe today in this room there are going to be some of you that have a two-inch event, meaning that your life is going to change direction, it's going to change destination, and today is going to be a day that you remember forever. You see, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it's one of those ifs in the Bible. It's another one of those ifs, and it says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, you're only two letters, an I and an F away, two letters and one decision away from a totally different and completely renewed life. Put your trust in Jesus. Make him your Lord and make him your Savior. Turn from your sinful, regretful ways. Be baptized into his death and burial and resurrection, and live a victorious life through the power of the Holy Spirit that God gives to you. How is all this possible? It's only because God is for you every day. He's for you in every way. I want us to read this verse out loud together. Read it with me. If God is for us, who can be against us? Pray with me. Father, we pause just now, and we know that there is comfort in knowing that you care for us and that you are for us every day and in every way. We're so grateful for that. May we be strengthened and encouraged by this truth, that nothing will separate us from your love. Help us to live with boldness and power through your Spirit, the Spirit that you've given to all of us who believe. We thank you so much for Jesus and all that he's done for us, that he died in our place, that he went to the cross, that we might be made whole and be made new, and we would be inheriting eternal life one day. But today, you've given us the power to live for you victoriously, and we thank you. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
If you like this podcast, we post a new message every week, so make sure to click that follow button and share it with your friends. Remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.